Be seated anytime you'd like. Well, this has been our first service in the camp meeting, and I don't see how it could have been any better. I know you had a good week last week, but been a blessing to be here this morning to hear the preaching. Let's take our Bibles, if you will, and turn to 2 Kings chapter number 5. And we'll begin reading there in verse number 1. And it's not me that's a diabetic. Did you take your shot this morning, Brother Steve? Well, I was out preaching for Brother Rod Mattoon, and there's a precious lady out there. Dixie's her name. And I was the speaker of the week, the evangelist, and the first thing she asked me if I knew Brother Steve Dagenhart. I said, well, yeah, I do. And she proceeded to tell me about a sermon he had preached that turned an 85-year-old woman's world around. And boy, it did touch her. And so I didn't know if I had a chance with her after that. But during the course of the week, she baked me a cake. I said, did you bake Brother Steve a cake? She said, well, you know, I didn't get to do that. And said, but I was thinking, I heard where you could mail cakes now. And I thought I might just make one. I said, don't. He's a diabetic. So I asked him if he got his cake, and he said no. And I never did tell her any different, so I don't reckon he's going to get a cake. But you pray for him. I want to do for the morning times this week, for my part, I want to preach on the word little that I have found in the lives of some Bible characters. And I want to say by way of encouragement, if you can somehow embrace and relate to the little in your life, God will always take care of the big. The truth of the matter is, we're so interested in being big that we pay no attention to the little from whence God does big things. And only eternity will reveal where the bigness of God comes from out of those little places, little things. And I want to emphasize this matter of little. I want to look this morning and I want to preach on a little servant and how this little servant or maid was much because she had God's witness in her. A little maid or servant is much because of God's witness that was in her. And I believe that one of the greatest things that God gave you when He saved you was a testimony. Let us not underestimate His witness. And we realize that the church has been built upon one witness at a time. Acts chapter number 1, verse number 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. God has given you a big thing, and it is that testimony, that witness. And we're going to read down through this text, and we're going to notice what she said, and then we're going to notice what was said as a result of what she said. And I want to emphasize that once you release what God has put in your heart, it just keeps on saying. And God is able to do some big things out of some little witnesses. Let's look at this passage of Scripture. The Bible said, now Naaman, a captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master. And honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor. But, and this cancels all of that, he was a leper, had a terminal disease. And the Syrians had gone out by company and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little, there's my word, maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria." Notice what she's saying, what she said. Verse 3 again, and she said, "For he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his Lord, saying. Now you notice she said, now somebody else is saying. "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. The king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and a change of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, notice all this that's being said, because she said, she had a witness in her, a testimony, unleashed, and it kept on being said. "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, now he's doing some talking. She was a talking, the maid was talking, the mistress was talking, Naaman was talking, the king's done some talking, some other folks has done some talking. And now it's got to Israel, and the king there is doing some talking. He rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive? And this man to send me to recover a man of leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." It was so, verse number 8, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying. Now the old prophets say it, but it all started with what she said. "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses, with his chariots, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean?" Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying that was connected to the saying that was connected to the saying that went all the way back to what she said. Hallelujah. You never know how far what you say is going to keep on going. "And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of what?" There's our word again. A little child. Because of what she said and all that was said, now when he goes back, he's going to look like her. The flesh of a little child. "And he was clean, and he returned to the man of God and all his company and came and stood before him and said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel." Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. I'm interested in all this saying that's going on in this text. And it begins with a little servant, a little maid, that witnesses. And then it seems to roll out as an avalanche, as God begins to use what she said to affect everything in this text. It's important what you're saying. And because there's a lot going to come out of it. And here we see this little maid. Her surroundings have made her little. Her service has made her little. Her size has determined that she's little. But this little maid was the difference maker by her life-changing witness. God has made a witness out of her. The wonder of one. How that God can take one little one and say something through her that would affect so much in so many ways and do a great work. Now, there are three or four things that I want to say here this morning about these things that have been said. First of all, I would point out to you what is evident in the text concerning this little maid. And that is the truth that God made a witness out of her. In other words, He had to get her to the place to where she could say something. It's not a matter of you just rattling off something to say. But it's a matter of God placing you personally in a situation to where you can say something. I notice in our text that she is moved by God from Israel, from her homeland, from the people that she loved. She has been uprooted. She has been taken from there into a foreign enemy territory. What this must have done to her heart. She's moved, but she's moved by God. And the reason why she's moved by God is He wants to get her somewhere to where she can say something. And oftentimes in our lives, we may not understand the moving that's taking place. But God knows there's somebody that needs to hear something, and He's getting you to where you can be the one to say something. It's what He did with Joseph. He moved him into Egypt. And it was in Egypt that he could say something. He took Daniel and moved him into Babylon because it was in Babylon he could say something. He took Paul and sent him to Rome because it was in Rome he could say something. He took Jonah and sent him to Nineveh because it was in Nineveh he could say something. Now what she could say here, she could not say at home. Israel had turned to paganism. They had begun to worship the Baalite gods. They weren't listening to anything as far as Jehovah was concerned. She could have said that all day long. It wouldn't have meant anything in the land of Israel. But now God has brought her. God has moved her. But not only has He moved her to where He wants her, He's got her up to a place now. He's got her to a specific place. To where she can say something. Not just anybody can say something. She can say something. God moving you to that specific place to where you're the one that He's going to allow to say something. He's got you now to where you can say something. He has moved her, but He has not only moved her, He has mastered her. He has taken this little daughter and He has made a servant out of her. He has made a slave out of her. And by the way, one of the qualifications for being a witness for God is that you've got to be a servant. And another one is you've got to be small. If you're not small and you're not a servant, you ain't got nothing to say for Him. But He has moved her. He has mastered her. And in the meantime, He has made a missionary out of her. God creates. God designs. God makes His witnesses, getting them to where they can say something. You know, as I think of my own life and how I was raised, even prior to my salvation, and when I think about all the adversities there, and I think about all of the hazards of that life, as I look back, I would not change one iota of my past. You say, why? Because it has brought me to where I can say something. I could say something. I tell you, what she is to these people is a preposition. All we know about her is on three occasions it said she is of Israel. She's a preposition. We don't know who her father was. We don't know who her mother was. We don't even know what part of Israel she's from. We know nothing about her heritage in the past other than she is of Israel. But I'm going to tell you something. God took this little maid, this little servant of Israel, and He said a big thing that could change Naaman's world and a lot of other worlds. It could affect the world that she lived in. God has made a witness out of her. He's got her to the place to where she could say something. And I'm here to tell you that what my past does is it has brought me to this hour and to the place that I could say something. So much so that Brother Stephen, I count it as an honor, has called me and said, Brother Dana, I want you to come to the camp meeting. He don't say it exactly like this, but he said, get up there and say something. Oh, I'm glad God's got some witnesses in this world that He has molded and He has made and He has designed. And hey, children, I encourage your heart. You are where you are and going through what you're going through because God wants to use you right there. Somebody needs a witness who is you. God has made a witness out of her. He's got her to where she can say something. She's God's witness for the hour. Woo. I like that, don't you? The second thing I want to point out to you is in verse number 3. It's that little clause there, and she said. And then she proceeded to say something. And here is my thought. God has taken this little servant and made much out of her because she's got a witness. God has made a witness out of her. He's taken her to where she could say something. But thank God the Lord has put a witness in her. He's gave her something to say. Now to me, what would be more fearful than anything in this world is for me as a preacher to get up and not have anything to say. But I'm glad when God makes a witness, He puts something in there for her to say. She has got a testimony. Now, I don't want to offend anybody, but I want to say to you that, you know, it's okay to have an organized visitation. But I don't think it's going to do any good if you're sending a bunch of people out that ain't got nothing to say. If all they're going to say is, I'm from such and such a church, and all they're going to say is, we'd like to have you at our church, well, the Mormons can do that and the Jehovah's Witness. I tell you what we need on the job and in the school and in the homes and everywhere else is somebody that God has put something in them to say. And I'm glad when He saved me 47 years ago, He put something in me to say. I hadn't read the Bible. I didn't know anything about the Scripture, but the first verse that I memorized was John 3:16. And I got me a little old cardboard box and put it inside of a bigger box and inside of a bigger box. And I made me a pulpit or a podium to stand on. Went down to West 25th Street there in Cleveland, Ohio. And I get up on my box and all I knew was John 3:16. But it was deep down in my heart. And I said what Jesus said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Aren't you glad for the day when God gave you something to say? Now, in this land, she had something to say, I tell you, because she knew something they didn't know. She knew about a prophet that was connected to Jehovah that had already caused an axe head to swim, already raised a dead boy to life, a man that had had him cut a tree down and turn bitter water into sweet water because of God, because of Jehovah. And she had something to say that they didn't know anything about. But I'm going to tell you something. She not only had something to say they didn't know. She had something to say they needed to know. This is a desperate hour. And from what we can tell in Scripture, Naaman's on his last leg. And of course, leprosy, much like cancer, a terminal illness. And it's inevitable that he's going to die. And he needs to hear something. And I'm going to tell you, this world needs to hear something. They need to know what you know about the Lord, thank God. They need to know and hear something. And God's given the church something to say. Don't quit saying he's given you something to say. She knew something they didn't know. She knew something they needed to know. But here's what blesses my heart. Thank God she was in a place that she knew something they wanted to know. Woo! Ain't it good every now and then to say something that somebody wants to hear? That's the joy of preaching. And don't bother me if folks go to sleep while I'm preaching every now and then. Because obviously they don't need to hear. They're not really interested in what I've got to say. But every now and then I'll go to preaching and I'll notice somebody perking up. And they'll scoot on up to the edge of their seat and tears will begin to flow. And I realize that I'm saying something they want to hear. And as long as there's sinners in this old world, God's going to have some saints that he's going to put something to say in their heart because those folks want to hear it. There's some sinners out there that's going to want to hear it. He has made a witness out of her, took her to where she could say something. Then he has put a witness in her, and he has given her something to say. John 1 said, that which is from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon with our hands and handled of the word of life, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. We've got something to say. I asked a young man just the other day and stopped to get fuel. And he came out there and I said, young man, are you a Christian? And of course, that can mean just about anything to this world now. And he readily answered back. He said, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. I said, well, let me ask you something. Do you personally know the Lord Jesus? And he stopped, stammered a little bit. And he said, well, no, I don't personally know him. And I said, well, son, that's what salvation is all about, is knowing him. I'm glad that I know him, aren't you? And because I know him, I'm glad I got something to say about him. The third thing I want to point out to you that jumped out. Notice, if you will, she has said something. She's got something to say. Verse number 3. She said unto her mistress, would God that my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. But then from verse number 4, almost all the way down to the end of where I read to you, it seems as though that this girl that God has made a witness out of her and he's put a witness in her, he has allowed that witness to in turn witness about her. In other words, he's taken her to a place that she could say something. He's given her something to say. And then what she said now is saying something about her. Isn't that amazing? Look at it there in verse number 4. The Bible said in verse 4, and one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And then everything that is said after that is related back to what she said. Showing that the truth of the matter is, and it's a principle that Jesus gave us. He said, if you'll confess me before men, then I'll confess you before my Father. In other words, what he is saying is, if you'll talk about me, I'll talk about you. Woo, I like that. You don't have to spend a whole lot of time bragging on yourself. Matter of fact, what you're saying says all that needs to be said about you. Because that's what people are talking about. They'll say, do you know what so-and-so said? Here's what so-and-so said. And what you got to be careful as to what you say, because it says everything needs to be said about you. What you're talking about talks about you when you're not around. And this little old girl, she didn't realize it. In that home, as she's testifying to Naaman's wife, and says to her, would God, and unleashes what she said about the man of God. She didn't know that she was going to be the conversation in two throne rooms. And in the mind of the man of God that she'd been pointing to, she's been taken to high places, though she's little. Honey, you don't have to promote yourself, even for a job where you work. You don't have to promote yourself in the church. Preachers, you don't have to promote yourself. All you got to do is preach on him and talk about him. And if you need to be talked about, he'll talk about you. What did he do with John the Baptist? John the Baptist spent 3.5 years talking about him. All he ever said was about him. Said he must increase and I must decrease. They cut John the Baptist's head off. Jesus said, come on, we're going up in the mountains. I'm going to talk to you about John. And he said, here's what I want to say about John. He said, little old John down there, I tell you, he was the greatest man prophet born among women. I like it when he gets to talking about me. He'll do the talking. If you just talk about him, he'll talk about you. In those little places, in little ways, if you'll just say what he said to you, then he'll do the saying because you said what he said to you. In big places. Woo. They said, who said that? Said it was a little maid of Israel. She said it. Well, who said that? Where'd that come from? Well, they said there's a little old maid over there. She's talked about in all those high places. Because she is speaking of him in the low places. Huh? The Lord forced me into evangelism. That's the truth. I mean, it wasn't because my church was all messed up. Can I take this coat off or is it hooked or hitched? Or whatever. But he come to me one day and he said, you're done, you're going into evangelism. I said, no, I don't recommend that. 2 years of misery. But here's what I talked to him about, and he didn't rebuke me. I said, Lord, I'll tell you now, if you want me to go, what I'm not going to do, I'm not going to get on my phone and call one earthly preacher and tell them I'm going in to evangelism. Because what I hoped was, is nobody know about it, and they wouldn't call me, and I wouldn't have to go. That's the truth. Here's what he said, you won't have to, I'll do the talking. You just get out there and talk about me one service at a time, and I'll talk about you. And here's the promise I'm going to tell you fulfilled. It's been 17 years and a lot of you preachers I've preached to, but you know I've never picked up the phone to call you. Here's what happens. I inevitably, 2 or 3 times a week, I get a phone call and say, Brother Dan, you don't know me and I don't know you, but I heard about you and I listened to a tape or somebody told me about you. And here's what they say. God told me to call you and ask you to come preach for me. I said, hallelujah! He's talking about me again! Honey, you don't even have to get up and talk about your needs. You get up and talk about how good he is. He knows about the needs. He'll talk about you. Let him do all the talking. She said it about him. Now it seems like it's all being said about her. I like that, don't you? There's a witness. In other words, again, he took her to the place where she could say something. He gave her something to say, and then he let what she said say something about her. See, my commission is not to come here to try to impress you, and I can't anyway. I've just come here to say what he said. And if anything needs to be said about me, I'll just let him do the same. So where I need me a church, I'm going to get my resume and I'm going to get her up real good. And don't let him do the saying. I ain't saying there's anything against it. I just never could see no use in him because he'd get in the way of what God would say. God wouldn't want to say more than you write down. Woo! Huh? They get to reading what you said and they won't even hear what God said. Now, here's my last thought. I want you to understand, in this matter of a little, she's just a little maid, a little servant, but she's big. Little as much. As far as this maiden servant is concerned, a little servant as much. She's got God's witness in her. She's been taken to the place she can say something. She's got something to say, and now it's saying about her. The last thing I want you to see is that this witness that she has seems to witness beyond her. In other words, from the last little old phrase, once she says it, it never stops being said. Do you realize that God's word is eternal? My word, which I've sent forth out of my mouth, shall not return unto me void. It's forever settled in heaven. So whether it's on the page of the Bible or whether he's put it in your heart and you're speaking it out, it's eternal in both occasions. Yes, sir. And the good news is, once you say it, it just keeps on being said. And have you noticed it's like an avalanche, as I said before? It just keeps on moving because of what she said, and so much is happening that has come out of what she said because that she said it. God just works all the way down through this text, moving things. Did you notice that? She's moved two kings. She's moved a military leader. She's moved the military leader's wife. She's moved the man of God. She's moved God. And she's moved the Jordan. It just keeps on moving until it comes right back around and she has to face what she said. Because he comes back home and said, "Darling, look at your skin and look at my skin. This all came out of what you said." And aren't you glad for those that have been changed and experienced a miracle, not only on the outside, but thank God a miracle on the inside. And he brought the news of what she said back to her. Brother Allen was preaching on fathers, and what a blessing it is when a young one will come back to you and say, "Dad, you remember what you said? I never got over that." Huh? Or a Sunday school teacher and that little old boy that was one time a kid is now grown, maybe even preaching the Word of God, said to you, "You remember what you said?" Or preaching the Word of God to go across the country and somebody come by that had gotten saved or got right with God and said, "Do you remember what you said?" Because what you said ain't never going to stop being said. It's eternal. Amen. See, one of these days, we're all going to have to die. News alert. And one of these days they're going to bring me down if the Lord don't come, and they're going to close the lid on the box. But I got news for you, I ain't going to shut up. They can't shut up what I've already said. Huh? I got two boys that are preachers and two daughters that love the Lord, and I can begin right there because, honey, they're already saying what I said for 47 years. Huh? My son called me on the phone. He got to preach two times yesterday. He said, Daddy, let me tell you what I said. And it sounded just like what I'd said. I said, hallelujah. Keep on saying it. Because you got some youngins and you got some grandyoungins. And you want them to say it. And it'll keep on being said. And they'll walk by while you're laying there lifeless. And they'll say, I remember what he said. You're not saying it in vain. Say it. If God puts it in your heart, say it. And it'll never stop being said because it's what's going to be said when we get to the other side. Amen. I'm going to walk up to the Apostle Paul and say, thank God for what you said, buddy. Huh? I'm glad for what you said. Now I need to prove that to you. As far as I can tell, what this girl said in verse number 3 happened 2,600 years ago. What year is this? Well, let me tell you what she said. Now, she didn't know I was going to be saying this. She didn't say it thinking 2,600 years from now that a preacher is going to get up and say what I say. I didn't think what I said was that important, but God put it in my heart. And now look at it. 2016, 2,600 years later, what'd she say? Would God, the Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria. Woo! The impact of what one little old girl, because she had a witness in her. Small, insignificant servant has changed her, the whole world around her. And here he comes. Now, he's already tried to give $2 or $3 million. I guess that was somewhere. I mean, you can calculate how much all that's worth that he took with him. He's tried to give that to the man who heard what had been said, that heard what had been said, that heard what had been said that she said, that caused the change. She's going to give that. He's trying to give that man all that silver and all that gold and everything. And all he done was heard what was said. Now he's headed back, a changed man, not only physically but spiritually. He's going back. I wonder what he's going to do for the one that said it. Now, I'm not saying she said it to get any fortune out of it, but I kindly imagine she got a little favor. She might have got a promotion, I don't know. Huh? Did you know that everything I am and everything I have come out of what I've said? Woo! These shoes come out of what I said. This suit come out of what I said. This tie come out of what I said. And boys, don't look like that. It's the same for you. If I hadn't have said something, I don't know where I'd be. I'll tell you, thinking back on the first time I ever preached and somebody come up and give me a couple of dollars. Yeah. I didn't know you were supposed to give somebody anything. For, they said, appreciate that sermon. Said, I like that what you said. Hand me $2. I said, wow, $2 for saying something? And then they got to give me $5. And then $10. I have had a few $100. And every bit of it came out of what I said. I go preach a meeting, get up and spit and hack and holler like I have, and they'll say, here, preachers, you a check. Go say that again to somebody else. Ain't that right? I don't know if she got any fortune out of it. I know God's blessed me out of what I've said. That he had somebody to say to me that come out of what he said. And it's just being said and keeps on being said. And somewhere else out beside this building, it's being said right now. Huh? But I tell you what she did do. I tell you what really come out of it. I think she got some fellowship out of it. She's the only one, as far as I can tell, in Israel saying anything worth, or in Syria saying anything worth being said. Have you ever felt like you was in a world where there wasn't anything being said that's worth saying? Especially out of Washington and Hollywood. But just that little thing that she said, give us evidence that I'll tell you, she knew the God of heaven. And I can see him when he comes back. And I'll tell you what you want to do. When somebody said something that's changed your world, you want to go back and see if they got something else to say. That's why you keep going back to the house of God. They said something changed your world. You just said, I'm going to go back. They said, why? Well, there might be something else they'll say that'll help me. And I can see him as he comes back. Now, this is my imagination. Since I'm doing the preaching, I'm just going to give it this way. I can hear him say to her, I can hear him come up to her, and he said, now, honey, now don't you pray. You pray three times a day, don't you? When I can't make the morning and the afternoon, but would you mind if I come in and pray with you at lunchtime? Maybe we could have a little Bible study. If you can get the Torah out, we'll read that Pentateuch. Is that what y'all call it? I'd sure like to get in on that. And I tell you, if there's one thing better than one witness, it's two witnesses. And I don't believe he could come back whole like that without somebody saying to him, what in the world happened to you, Naaman? I thought you was about dead. He said, have you got time to hear what I've got to say that come out of a little girl that said something that's changed my whole world? Just say something. Just say something. Just keep on saying something. You got something to say? Say it for Jesus. You say, well, I ain't no preacher. I ain't no Sunday school teacher. And I ain't no evangelist. It ain't in that. It's in that little heart. God will just give you a word or two to say that somebody else out here needs to hear and wants to hear. It'll change everything all around. Living off and living in what you say. Well, glory, I like that. Saying something! Saying something! She said, would God, I got something to say. Can I say it? Say it, honey. Who knows what's coming out of that? Woo! I'm glad I got something to say. And I'm glad what I've said's been saying about me. That maid's mistress probably said, no, say that again. She said, Naaman, come in here. You want to know what she said? He said, well, let's go tell the king what she said. They sent some in the presence of the king. Said, oh, king, we come to say something. He said, well, say on. They said, well, there's a little girl of Israel that you don't know, but here's what she said. He said, well, if she said that, go and get ready, get everything you can, and go to the king of Israel and say what she said. And you can imagine how that king was. They were all, hellish back in Israel. He probably said, who said that? You can tell by the way you're reading. Who said that? Well, they just said that there's a little girl over there that was of Israel, and she said that. He said, man, we can't do that. The prophet heard about what she'd said. That's what it said. And then he said, I'm glad that what I've said for 47 years, the book ain't going to close on it. Amen. Preachers, you may have five. You don't need that many to say something. Amen. And they need to back up and park a little bit there. Say, well, I need a crowd to say something. No, you just need something to say. Maybe your problem, you just ain't got nothing to say. I tell you, the biggest meeting I was ever in, there wasn't but seven people there, but I had something to say. I'm preaching in a mission work up there in Cowan, and I'm done. But I was preaching up there in Cowan. I ain't seen no lights at all. They've turned them all off. In West Virginia, in the mission work, and the preacher kept telling me some churches 30 and 40 miles away was coming Monday and Tuesday night, but he kept telling me, assuring me, he said, preacher, he said, They won't be no more than 5 to 7 here Wednesday night. He kept. I said, well, that's all right. I didn't come for a crowd. I preached them. Sure enough, I showed up on that Wednesday night and count them. That's how many there was. There's 7. He's feeling a little sorry for himself. I got up and I announced my text, God being my witness, and the world blew up. I never preached like that before, nor have I preached since. I preached all over the pews, under the pews, around the pews. I got done. I said, folks, people are going to ask you how many was here. You tell them there ain't no way of knowing. I said, I know physically there's 7 here. I know the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost was here. I said, I believe they invited the hosts of heaven, and they were here. And the angels was here. They might have been 10 million here as far as we know, but I know there's more than 7. Hallelujah. And you say, why? Because I was there? No, because I had something to say.
That's great, man of God. Amen.
So if you got 5 Sunday morning, don't worry about it. Just say something. If you got 50, say something. If you got 150, say something. If you got 15,000, say something that God has given you to say. And it'll never stop being said.